Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. We are talking today about the 1,000 actions, about ways of creating the next year of your life as the best year ever. And we'll be talking to you throughout the show. The numbers to call, 1-866-254-1579. That's 1-866-254-1579. Or if you want to phone us from outside the United States, you can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. And you can listen to the show while you hang out online. There's an old Indian proverb. When you were born, you cried and the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries and you rejoice. So each year around this time, we get to the end of the year, and I'm always looking for ways to make the new year successful and meaningful and fun. And a few years ago, I hit on something that really excited me, and it really, I've taught it to, you know, thousands of people over the last couple of years, and it really seems to light a fire in the imaginations of pretty much everyone I share it with. And it's an idea I call the 1,000 actions. And the essence of the idea is really quite simple. You choose a goal that you really want to make massive progress towards over the next year. And what you commit to is taking and tracking 1,000 actions in the next year towards its achievement. So let me just explain what that actually means. Okay, so choose a goal that you'd like to make massive progress towards in the next year. So this you want this to be a biggie. You want this to be something which you're pretty sure won't happen all by itself. It's what we call wow goals. It's something that you'd so love to have that even thinking about it brings a big grin to your face, and actually achieving it would make the grin even bigger. So here are some examples of wow goals that people have come up with. Getting their dream job, earning more money than ever before, marrying the man or woman of their dreams, retiring young, retiring rich, ending world hunger, being happy, traveling the world, raising $1 million for their favorite charity. Whatever it is for you, whatever it is for you that makes you go wow, all you have to do is commit to taking and tracking 1,000 actions, 1,000 actions over the next year towards its achievement. Now, 1,000 actions in a year works out to 4 actions a day, 5 days a week. Now, you don't have to do it that way, but that's one way of breaking it down. Now, for most people, that's a doable stretch. 4 actions a day in the direction of a goal, it's not so much that even, you know, with a full-time job or whatever else is going on in your life, you can probably find time for 4 actions a day. And a bit later in the show, I'm going to talk about what kinds of actions really seem to make the difference. But 4 actions a day, 5 days a week, most people, it's doable and it's a stretch. So it's in that useful place between, you know, well, that's too easy because it's so easy that it becomes difficult because I forget to do it. And the other end of that spectrum, which is it's so hard, I'm not even going to try. And while taking the 1,000 actions is absolutely one of the keys to success, having done this for a few years now, taking the 1,000 actions is key, but tracking them is equally, if not more, important. So there's a great saying. Michael LaBeouf, who's a management guru, had this great saying, what gets measured gets done. So the first action of your 1,000 actions, I highly recommend, is to write or type out a list numbered from 1 to 1,000. Put it on your desktop, put it on your computer, put it on your corkboard, put it on your refrigerator, put it in your journal. And then right from the beginning, you can track each action as you take it. And I can tell you from experience, when you see this list start to fill up with actions, it really is quite an incredible feeling. So there are other questions that people have that come up as they go through this. If you've got questions about this or just any questions about kind of having more of what you want in your life going forward over the next year, numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free, 1-866-254-1579. And, of course, you can keep listening to the show while you're on hold. But for now, let us go to Barbara in Oregon. Barbara, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Yes, I feel like I'm sort of starting my life over at 47, and I'm trying to literally going forward as a single woman, no children, and I'm trying to figure out how to really have the positive second half of my life. And I feel like I'm surrounded by people that have had it together since they were 20. Mm-hmm. So I get intimidated a lot with that. And I have your book, and I can only take it, and I can only take books in small doses. I get overwhelmed with reading.
Okay, so what? So first thing, let me tell you is take the book.
Yeah.
I mean, not the second, obviously, but take the book. And the next time you're around one of those people that, you know, you really...
That you feel intimidated by.
You feel intimidated by.
And they're judging you.
Hit them with the book. Just really hard. Just take the book. It's a good thickness. Just hit them.
I'd probably get fired if I did that.
Well, okay. So you might want to, you might not want to physically do that. You might just want to do that in your imagination. But look,
yeah.
The thing is...
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Forget about them. Forget about... If you're wanting to start over, and this is obviously true for anyone who's feeling like they're starting over, not...
Yeah.
You know, regardless of the age, you... The whole point of starting over, see, there's a wonderful thing. There is a real reason why people tend to start a new life after 40. You know, whether it's through divorce or whether it's through changing careers or whether it seems to be life doing it to them as opposed to them doing it to life.
Yeah.
And it's to do with, and this may or may not make sense to you, and I'm just going to go for it because I love this theory. But it's to do with the fact that over the age of 40, the need to reproduce as biological organisms,
yeah,
lessens. In other words, you know, for the female, it becomes, you know, less and less possible. And for the man, it's sort of like that need, that drive does diminish,
right,
even though it doesn't quite go away.
Hormones.
So what happens,
yeah,
is for the first, you know, 20 years of your adult life, all of your decisions are clouded by, you know, I need to get laid.
Right.
I mean, male or female, because I need to reproduce. It's biological.
Right.
It's nothing to do with our minds. And, you know, and so even if we think, oh, this is what I really want, chances are what you really want between the ages of about 15 and 40 is heavily colored by what
your
you
hormones.
Think will what you think will make you more attractive,
yeah,
to the you know,
the
more of a worthy mate. Once that diminishes, you for the first time in your life can begin to see what really you're here for.
How interesting, yeah.
And so that's why, you know, that's why I say hit people over the head with the book. It's not because I want you to do that, but it's because that the whole point is it no longer matters what they think. It no longer matters what they're doing.
And we mustn't compare. I've had the comparison problem my whole life. We just mustn't do that because not all of us can be parents. Not all of us should be parents. There's many people that never should have, you know, bread. And
you know, and it was funny. Even the way you just said that, you sounded suddenly like a six-year-old girl.
Oh, really?
We mustn't compare. We mustn't compare to others.
Oh.
Comparing. And again, look, I'm not picking on you, but that's part of what you're probably bumping up against is this little girl inside who thinks, I must do things this way. I mustn't do things that way. I must, this is good. This is bad. This is the way. You get to, if you're going to start over, start your starting over by getting rid of all that crap.
Yeah.
And there's stuff in the book, if you go to the section on beliefs particularly, but chapters 4 and 5, I talk about it a lot as well. There's a lot of stuff in there about how you can specifically notice where you're living out of some sort of an old mythology, an old belief, and how you can let those go. And that's what I'm going to give you as your task,
yeah,
is to actually go through those and begin to, so as I say, start your starting over by clearing out all the shoulds, all the supposed tos, all the stuff that you picked up in the first 47 years,
mm-hmm,
that no longer serves you.
Right.
And from that place, you're going to find it a lot easier,
mm-hmm,
to just go, you know what? This is what makes me go, wow. This is what it feels worthy of my committing to taking 1,000 actions towards.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it feels worthwhile making my life about, at least for a little while.
Right.
And from there, keeping your life on track is a lot easier.
Right. Well, I like that feedback about 6-year-old because I wouldn't have even realized that. And that's what I need to know and hear.
That's my job now.
That's the way I sound, you know.
Okay. Well, listen, have a very happy holidays. Thank you so much for phoning
Thank
in.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. We will be back with more of your calls in the next segment of the show. But just I wanted to sort of finish this segment with... just a little tip about the difference between an action and a goal, because, you know, when you're going through your 1,000 actions, a lot of people, one of the mistakes they make is they put things on the list like talk with Ben about next week, get information about such and such, move into, and what those things are is they're actually mini goals. They're not actions. So if you listen to the difference, instead of talk with Ben, maybe the action is look for Ben's phone number. Instead of getting information out to the people who need the information, maybe it's about printing up 50 copies of the information. If the goal is to move into the new office, maybe the goal is to pack up the furniture. So the thing is, the actions, the 1,000 actions, these need to be things that you can actually do. So the worst case is you didn't do them. it's not a goal, because very often we can get demotivated because we have all these things on our to-do list that we freak out because, oh my God, I've had, you know, get five new clients on my to-do list for ages, and I just get five new clients. It's a goal. It's not an action. The action might be make 10 phone calls. Well, you can do that. There's pretty much nothing that's going to stop you from picking up the phone and dialing 10 numbers. The rest of it, those are the goals. So with your 1,000 actions, you really want to focus on the actions. We're coming up on a break. We will be back with more of your phone calls. Jennifer and Leah, hang on the line. We'll get to you in the next segment. If you want to get in, the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's 866-254-1579. And I will be back with more thoughts on the 1,000 actions and creating the next year as the very best year of your life. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back and we are talking about the 1,000 actions, how taking 1,000 actions towards your most important goal over the next year can transform your life. And we're talking with you about any area of your life where you want more of what you want. You really want to get the next year off to a great start. So those numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579, toll free, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And we're going to go to Jennifer in Cleveland. Jennifer, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. My goal is to be happy.
That's a good one.
Pardon?
That's a good one.
Well, I can't remember the last time I was.
Okay.
My father died of cancer 1 year ago, and that was very hard for me. We're very close.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same week this year, my mom was diagnosed with cancer.
Okay.
And I can't, you know, I guess I'm kind of naive. I never thought my parents would die. And it hit me really hard. And I just...
May I ask you a couple of stupid questions?
Okay.
Okay, just because I need that permission, because I know some of these questions I'm going to ask might sound ridiculous, and just go with me here.
Okay.
So the first question is, would it be okay with you, would it be okay with you to be happy even though your dad has died of cancer and your mom has cancer now?
No.
Okay, that's the key to this whole thing. I just sort of wanted to save you a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could spend a lot of time trying to be happy, but until you have your own permission, it's not going to work, because you would be literally going against yourself. But now let me ask you the second of the stupid questions, which is, why is it not okay with you? In other words, even though many people would agree with you, and I'm not even disagreeing with you, why isn't it okay with you to be happy now?
It's hard living without my dad. My mom is the world to me. And all this is hard to say.
And I want you to know, you are talking to somebody. My dad was killed, God, I guess it's 14 years ago now. So I nobody knows what you're going through, and I have a similar... You know, there's an old story. Do you know the story of the mustard seed?
No.
I'm going to probably get this wrong. I think of it as a story about the Buddha, though it might have been a Jesus story. But the way that I heard it was somebody came to the Buddha and asked if he would heal, that they'd lost their baby and they had just died. And they'd heard that sometimes the Buddha could perform miracles. And asked if he could bring the baby back to life. And the Buddha said, I can, but you have to do something for me. You have to get me a mustard seed from a house that has not known death. So, from a household where nobody has ever died. And so the woman goes out and, comes back I don't know, 24, 48, 72 hours later, and says thank you. Because, of course, what she realized is there is no house like that.
Right.
So there is nothing wrong with grieving. There is nothing wrong with feeling loss. There is nothing wrong with being sad. However, what a lot of us have learned to do is use our sadness and our grief as our way of showing our love and respect for the people who are no longer with us. So it feels like a betrayal of the people we've lost to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the people who've loved you in your life would feel betrayed if you felt happy. I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. I don't think that it would mean that. I think you can demonstrate your love and caring for your parents without having to stay unhappy in order to do it.
Well, I just feel like, you know, my family's being punished or something.
I mean,
ever since my dad died, our family has just separated. I mean, we were the closest thing, and now we've all just separated.
You know, and chances are that everyone in your family is going through the kind of thing that you're going through and trying to make sense of it, and probably not letting themselves really focus on how they would like to feel and what they want, because they feel in some way, oh, hang on, I can't do that because Dad died. I can't do that because Mom's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to suggest, because you're the person that's on the phone with me,
mm-hmm.
is I'm going to suggest that regardless of what the rest of your family decide to do,
mm-hmm.
that if you really want to make a difference for yourself, make a difference for your family this year, that you make a decision that you are going to focus on taking really excellent care of yourself, so that you're in a position to be there for the family. And they might not all be ready to come back together all at once.
Mm-hmm.
They might have to go through their own version of the process. But if you're there, if you put the priority on you and taking care of what you need to take care of in yourself, really looking at that for yourself, really looking at, hang on, could I give myself permission to feel happy at least a little some of the time? Would that really be... Is there another way besides being really unhappy, being really sad, besides continuing to grieve, that I can know that I loved my father and that I can know that I loved my mother? Do I really have to feel this bad in order to remind myself how much I love and care about them? And those kinds of questions, if you just, you know, as gently as you can ask them of yourself, will lead to being able to just give yourself that permission. Because, look, I think it's a completely worthy goal. I think it's a wonderful goal. But I also think that it's something that will come pretty quickly once you give yourself permission for it.
Right.
Okay.
That's just the hard part.
Well, that is. But the nice thing about it is it's also the part that's completely up to you.
Right.
Nobody else can do that for you, and nobody else can take that away from you.
Right. It's kind of pushed my faith, though.
You know, this is the thing about death. This is why people sometimes think that I'm kidding or I'm being disrespectful when I say that one of the things that I find incredibly empowering, one of the thoughts, is that I'm going to die.
Oh, gosh.
Because my acceptance of that gives me an incredible amount of freedom. You know, in the Native American tradition, they would, before beginning a day, they would begin their day, you know, with the invocation, today is a wonderful day to die. Not because they wanted to die, but because they knew that from that place of acceptance, that death is part of life. That death, at least death of the body, is part of birth in the body. It's part of the life cycle. That gives you an incredible freedom to not hold yourself back, to not wait forever for things to work out, to not get to 47 and think, oh gosh, you know, is it okay to start over?
Yeah,
the more aware you are of that, I mean, this is something I've always believed, well, always since it happened. I always believed that September 12th was the single safest day to be alive on the planet, September 12th, 2001,
yeah.
Because the world was no more or less dangerous that day, but everybody had become aware of the reality of the world that we're living in. And part of the reality of the world that we live in is people die. And that includes you, that includes me, that includes your dad, it includes my dad.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean it has to be okay, and it doesn't mean you have to just you know, pull yourself together and get on with it. I don't know if you know the old story, the old joke about, you know, don't teach a pig to sing because it doesn't work and it tends to annoy the pig.
Yeah.
Well, you know, don't try to make yourself be happy because it usually doesn't work and it's kind of annoying.
All right.
But what you can do is you can really just take the time to make your peace with it, to make your peace with yourself, to make your peace with your God, to make your peace with life. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I am saying it can be done. And I will absolutely guarantee you that the moment you give yourself permission to at least let things be a little bit better than they are right now, to at least feel good sometimes, things will begin to change.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Have a very happy holiday.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
Thank you very much for phoning in, Jennifer.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. So we will be coming back in just about 4 minutes. I'm going to be talking more about some of the actions you can take to move forward. I'm going to be talking with Michelle in Long Beach. Michelle, hang on. And if you'd like, I can be talking to you. The number is to call 1-866-254-1579, toll free. 1-866-254-1579. You know, it really is extraordinary to me how much of a difference permission can make. So as you just kind of go into this break, maybe that's something you can think about for yourself, is do you have your own permission to be happy? And if not, why not? And what are you afraid might happen if you did? We'll be right back after this.
This is You Can Have What You Want with Michael Neal. This HayHouseRadio.com inspirational moment is excerpted from Dr. Wayne Dyer's 101 Ways to Transform Your Life audio CD, available at HayHouse.com.
Be peaceful, experience silence, meditate, and really listen to God. The result will be that you will find the solution to each and every one of your problems, whether it be related to relationships or finances, health or self-image, all within yourself. The peace and the quiet and the solitude all come from an understanding that God's one and only voice is silence, as Herman Melville reminded us. And if you can just be, even for one moment today, just peaceful and just go within, you're going to find a bliss that you perhaps didn't ever know before.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back. We're talking about the 1,000 actions, how you can take action to make next year the best year of your life. And we're talking with you. The number's to call 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free, 866-254-1579. Just before I go back to the phones, I wanted to just tell you a little bit about this idea of taking massive action. I remember years and years ago now, a friend and I were listening to this old Tony Robbins tape where he talked about the secret of success is taking massive action. And, you know, that seemed pretty straightforward. And, you know, we both experienced periods of a lot of busyness in our career building efforts that hadn't gotten us where we desired. So we thought, well, hang on, you know, maybe we're not taking enough action. So my friend said, well, how many actions do you think is massive action? And we'd had a lot of red wine that night. And so I said 20. And he thought that was a good idea. So we decided, okay, the secret of success is taking 20 actions a day. Now, there was another sort of philosophical quandary there, and you may know from my 1,000 actions idea, I've now downgraded the 20 to 4 a day should do you. But what do you think my friend said? He said, what do you think counts as an action? I mean, can any action count, or does it have to be an action that produces a result? Or, like, if I phone somebody and they're not there, did that count as an action? And, you know, what are the best actions to take? So really began to look at it and began to break it down. And there were a few distinctions that I came up with that night that have served very well for my clients over the years. So here's two different kinds of actions. There are prepper actions. So that's anything you can do each day to get a little bit better at what it is that you do, regardless of whether anyone else or not decides to do or not to help you. So John Wooden was the most successful basketball coach in America. in at the collegiate level. And he was famous for ensuring that his players never focused on winning, which wasn't within their control, but just on doing whatever it was in their power to continually improve and prepare themselves mentally, emotionally, and physically for each and every game. So without ever talking about winning, about getting the result, about the goal, he created teams that had 8 undefeated seasons, 38 consecutive tournament victories, and the previous record was 13, and a lifetime winning percentage of 80. He, unbelievable what he achieved just through that continual focus on being prepared, doing everything that you can do to be prepared. So when you create your list of 1,000 actions, and you don't have to decide what they are ahead of time. You're going to fill in your list as you go. A lot of those actions can be prepper actions. They can be things that just help you be better prepared to take the next action. The other kind of action is an action or an action request. And that's a request that you make to somebody else to take an action on your behalf. So one of the best books I ever read on the power of asking was The Aladdin Factor by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. And they sort of have 8 suggestions in there about how to ask somebody else to take action for you. So ask as if you expect to get it. Ask someone who can give it to you. Be clear and specific in your request. Ask with some humor. Ask with some creativity. Ask from the heart. Be prepared to give something in order to get something. You don't have to, but be prepared to. Ask repeatedly and be gracious in accepting a no. And that last one is really important, because the more somebody really gets that it's okay with you for them to say no, the more inclined they'll be to say yes. And when we took those 2 distinctions about the critical types of action, my friend and I, about the prepper actions and the actions, the final translation that we came up with for the secret of success is taking massive action was, the secret of success is doing everything you can to be the best you can be, and then asking at least 20 people a day to take action on your behalf. And so that's just some more food for thought on your own quest to create 1,000 actions next year. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Michelle in Long Beach. Michelle, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I love going through your archives and hearing what you have to say about everything. So I love it.
Thank you.
But my question is, I've kind of, just in the last 6 months, made some changes to get myself more lined up with what it is I really want. Like, I separated from my marriage. I moved to a new city and everything. And every few days, I have this inclination of wanting to go back to what's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my marriage, for one, we're kind of working on that off and on. But there's sometimes I just want to run back to it because it's so familiar. And the city Sorry about that.
We lost.
Sorry. I'm back.
Okay.
The city I just moved out of, I also, you know, have all these inclinations to want to run back there when I feel like there's opportunities for here, but for me here. But every few days I get distracted and I'm like, oh, well, I had that and I had this, and I don't know if that's really because I need to go back in that direction.
All right.
Perspective, or if I need.
Let me tell you a story. When I was a kid, I will tell this story. When I was a kid, I was told that depending on which thumb was on top when you put your hands together, it meant that you were gay. And I grew up in a really small town, and that, you know, I've now learned a little bit about life and learned that that's not as freaky as it was to me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I had the gay thumb. And I was horrified, and I went, oh my God. And I went through all this stuff, so what I did was I practiced every day consciously putting the other thumb on top. So I keep crossing, you know, putting my hands together with interlacing fingers and putting the non-gay thumb on top. And I do this every day, and I do this every day. And after, I don't know how many days it was probably like 6, 7, 8 days. I put my hands together without looking and noticed that the non-gay thumb was on top. And that when I tried to put it back the other way, that now felt unfamiliar. So the thing about familiarity is it really is just what you're used to. It's just the old groove. It has no significance beyond that. And it doesn't take that long to create a new groove. One of the analogies that I'll often give people is that you can... sorry, I'm still hearkening back to those heady days of yesteryear. And all the emails I'm going to get from people going, don't you like gay people? It's just the thumb, okay? It's just about the thumb. But a simple exercise that you can try, analogy that you can use is, think about if you take a route to work and it takes, let's say an hour to get there, and it's a bit unpleasant. There's always a lot of traffic. And you've taken that route forever and you kind of know it backwards. And then I show you a new route where you can get to work in 10 minutes and it's beautiful. How many times do I need to show you that new route before you start to take it?
Once.
Now that's not to say that you might not ever sort of start going back the old way just because you're used to it. But once you have a better way and you know, oh my gosh, that's so much better for me. The fact that something else is a bit more familiar will fall away.
Right.
So really, what this is, you know, if you want to avoid going back to what's familiar, is find a real wow to go towards.
Right. That's what it is. It's like I don't always know if where I am is better. You know, then I start looking at all the negative of what I'm experiencing as opposed to what I had.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if it's like, oh, you don't miss something till it's gone, or is that just what's familiar to me?
It could be either, but the way that you tell is by going, what do I really want? Mm-hmm. And if it turns out that what you really want is to be back with Bob or Tony or Fred or whoever it is, and to go back to living in Cleveland or Detroit or New Jersey or wherever it is, well, that's one thing. But it's sort of almost like the lack of vision of where you do want to go that makes the rearview mirror more attractive. If there's nothing in front of you and there's a whole lot in the rearview mirror is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So your job, your mission, should you choose to accept it, mm-hmm. is to actually really work over the next couple of weeks on creating that vision for yourself of what would be amazing, even if it's impossible. Because once you create that vision, not only will you want to look forward instead of back, but then you can begin to apply this 1,000 actions idea. Then you can begin to go, you know what? Maybe it's just repetition. Maybe just if I keep crossing my fingers in this new way, if I keep taking action in this new direction, this is going to become what's familiar. And wouldn't it be lovely if what becomes familiar and comfortable is what you really want?
Right.
You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if you set it up so that the path of least resistance takes you in the direction that you really want to go?
Mm.
And that's all about finding that wow. That's all about really just making a priority of creating that vision for yourself.
Right.
That's something you're up for doing?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so what I would love is if in a week or two or when you've created that, if you either call back in and let me know what it is, or you can go on geniuscatalyst.com, the website, and there's a forum there, and you can put your vision in on the forum. And not only do I often go on the forums and interact, but also I've just got a great community of coaches and supportive people. We'll have all sorts of wonderful, not only support for you, but maybe even action suggestions for you.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Have a very happy holidays. We will be back with one final segment after the break. The number's call, 1-866-254-1579. That's 1-866-254-1579. And we will be back with more of You Can Have What You Want right after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Okay, does anyone besides me think that Herman needs a hug? I thought that was very sweet. Look, just before I go back to the phones for this final segment, one of the questions I get a lot is, can I do the 1,000 actions in more than one area of my life at the same time? And, you know, I'm always loath to pass my limitations on to somebody else, but I wouldn't. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is you probably don't need to, because when you really kind of take that kind of concentrated action in one area of your life, it usually has a knock-on effect in the other areas. The second reason is that, you know, the desire to take on these multiple life-changing projects all at once, it's a bit symptomatic of resolutionitis, which I don't know if you know about resolutionitis. It's the disease that strikes millions every new year. Common symptoms include overpromising, underdelivering, shame, blame, and self-loathing. It's where you just kind of suddenly go, I'm going to change everything, and wind up not changing anything. So having said that, you're the expert on you. And if you look at the design of your life over the next year and you see that you really do have time and scope to take 2,000 actions, you know, for a couple of different things, or 3,000 actions for three different things, obviously go for it. But otherwise, I would say choose one area and really go for it there. We're going to go to Rome to talk to Leah. Rome, welcome to Leah. Leah, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. Before I talk, I just wanted to preface by saying I have only probably 3 minutes on my SIM card.
Okay.
But if you can give me a little bit of insight, that would be great. Basically, I just moved to Rome about 4.5 months ago, right after graduating from college. And I moved here very randomly, just on a whim, because that's how I am. And I very much so believe in my personal freedom and being able to change things in my life and creating new things. And my one downfall is that I always kind of take this relaxed attitude, like it's always going to be okay. And that's
so
good.
Because I don't have a lot of time, if I could wave my magic wand and something would change in your life, what would you like me to wave my magic wand for?
Get me to, I guess I'm having trouble getting steady employment here because I've been always kind of okay with just getting by. But now this is different because this is my first time in my life that I'm paying rent, and I actually need to get, you know, I need to make some money more than just putting food in my stomach.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then I think the trick here is to allow yourself to take care of your needs before you worry too much about what you really want. You know, there's a lovely model in coaching we call integrity needs wants, which is the first thing, make sure that you're in integrity with yourself, which is that you are basically doing what you know to do. You know, that you don't have this knowing that you're supposed to be somewhere else doing something else. Once you've got a basic sense of, you know what, this is the best I know for now, then you got to take care of your needs. You know, there's no point in thinking, ooh, I really have these big dreams. If you're having, you know, if you're a little worried about how you're going to pay the rent this month, take care of the rent. If you're worried about where the food's going to come from, make sure you've got the food. Then from that place, it's really easy to dream and it's really easy to go for what you want. So, you know, what I would say is make it okay that your next goal is about having more than enough money.
Okay.
You know, about making the rent. And then you can actually start to make that fun. Because then instead of it, well, I'm settling for this and I guess I have to do this. It's like, no, this is what I'm doing. I'm going out and I am taking care of myself and I am standing on my own 2 feet and this is great. And then the time will come where you can go on from that. So I think we've lost Leah, but hopefully that was of some use. Let's go to Dorothy in New York. Dorothy, thank you for holding. Welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Well, I really like your ideas. They resonate with me. And I've been a visual artist all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm accomplished at that. But I also like to write. And a few years ago, I discovered that actually I could.
Mm-hmm.
I was a Toastmaster for a while. I wrote a lot of little short talks, and I very often won the trophy for my talks. I don't know if it was the presentation or the material or what. But I found these little stories and talks the other day that I had written, and I thought, wouldn't it be fun to turn them into something that could be published? Now, I work well by myself. I can accomplish things, but the most difficult thing for me is to ask for help. What would you suggest? I mean,
No. Look, there's two things I'd like to suggest. One is directly related to that question, and the other is related to the goal. Okay? So the first thing is asking for help. I learned this from a guy named Steve Chandler, who's a wonderful coach. He's an author. He's a speaker. He does a lot of the things it sounds like you want to do. And you can I think probably the book to grab might be 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself. 100
Ways
to Motivate Yourself.
Okay.
But what he said specifically that really struck me is he said, the reason that you know that asking for help is a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness, is because it means that you are more committed to getting the result than to looking good.
Uh-huh.
And that really struck me as I got that at a fundamental level that I went, yeah, because do you know what? If I'm actually committed to the goal, then it's okay if people think a little less of me about how
right.
I got it. And if I want to look good, well, then I can look good, but I probably won't get as far as I'd like to get.
Yeah.
Now, the other part of it is if you're going for a big goal like that, set the game up so that you can win. There's a wonderful animal trainer called Karen Pryor, and she tells the story in her talks about how she went from working with dogs to working with dolphins. Because with dogs, and in fact most animals, you can use negative reinforcement. You know, you can smack the dog on the nose and they'll learn not to jump. But if you like smack a dolphin on the nose with a newspaper, you're just going to wind up with a pissed off dolphin and a wet newspaper. So, so what she learned to do is reward the dolphins with smiles and whistles and fish. And suddenly the dolphins would jump through hoops to get the reward. And in my experience, you know, working with people, that same kind of graduated positive reinforcement works well. I mean, now for most of us, like dangling a bit of sushi is not going to cut it as the reward. But let me give you my sort of top three tips. Okay.
All right.
So if you want to set the game up so you can win, the first thing is to acknowledge the wins wherever you find them. So, you know, I don't know about you, but like for a lot of people, they won't count something as a win unless either it's huge or somebody else loses. You know, whereas winning the way I'm talking about, it's just unique to you. Anything that feels to you like a little success. And that might be, you know, a signature on an order form. It might be, I actually picked up the phone and called somebody.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
Sounds good to me.
Absolutely. It's just that smile that doing that. So acknowledge the wins wherever you find them is step one. The second is start winning as quickly as you as possible. So one of the pieces of advice that I was given when, about cleaning, because I'm not a great house cleaner, but when I was really struggling to take on my garage one year, and the advice I was given is completely clear one corner first, instead of trying to clean up a little bit from everywhere. And what was great is when I could see the clean corner, I had this burst of energy that wound up fueling my efforts to take on the next bit and the next bit and the next bit. It's one of the same reasons that I often recommend to people that they focus as much on building up savings as paying off debt, because as you see that amount begin to grow, that gets exciting, and then there's even more energy. So as a writer, it might mean just start with the easiest chapter. You know, start with the easiest thing. If you want to be a speaker, it might be find the easiest place to get a talk on and do that, so that you start winning as soon as possible. And the last thing, the third thing that really helps you, you know, win games and influence dolphins is share unearned fish. So another thing Karen Pryor said when she was talking about the thing about working with dolphins is that if the task that the dolphins were being asked to perform seemed too difficult, in other words, if there was like too long a gap till they could get another reward, they'd give up with a strange sort of snorting sound that's reported to have sounded suspiciously like, you know, screw you, in dolphin speak. But what the trainers found was that if they would occasionally throw the dolphin an unearned fish, in other words, just give them some approval and love and good feeling without waiting for the successful completion of the outcome, the dolphin would keep playing until she succeeded. And so I think for yourself, the way that that maps across is be willing to give yourself approval as you go. In other words, don't wait to give yourself approval until you've actually done it. Don't withhold your own approval as a punishment.
Okay, these things all resonate with me. I really like your thinking. I think this way. I just wonder about my reticence to ask for help.
Okay, and what I would say, what I would say is your reticence for asking for help will disappear when you ask for help more.
Okay.
So literally, you know, we're talking about 1,000 actions on this show.
Yeah.
If by the time you have asked for help 25 times, that reticence will not be an issue anymore. It's that simple. All right. Thank you for phoning in, Dorothy. Have a very happy holidays. Thank you all for listening. This has been, this is my last live show of the year, and it has been a wonderful year. And thank you for being with me throughout the year. And I will be back with you, in repeats and in the new year. Thank you very much also to Kyle and Diane in the studio for helping us get through the show today. And we will be back in repeats next week and back with you in January. Have a great, 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 great new year. Bye-bye for now.